Greetings, everyone, and happy Independence Day weekend. We here in North Idaho celebrate, as across the country, with time of refreshment, enjoyment of the summer, and thanksgiving for this nation, remembering the gifts of independence that allow for fuller life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, joy, contentment, fulfillment. We also take stock in this time, and particularly in this year, of how we have done as a nation for all people. And we take once again the mantle of responsibility on ourselves to press on for all people, for the same independence that allows for the same kind of full life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, joy, contentment, and fulfillment. Today's readings in our series of readings called the lectionary bring us further forward in our walk through the early Old Testament stories of matriarchs and patriarchs, and also Paul's wonderful message in Romans of God's grace, and in Matthew, Jesus's encounters with the world that are ongoing. So let's talk about Isaac. Isaac, son of Abraham, one of the sons of Abraham, the one to whom the promise and covenant with God was passed. We pray in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaac is a silent character in Scripture, almost entirely silent, very occasionally speaking, but between the time when Abraham attempts to sacrifice his son Isaac because of sensing that God wanted that, and his sons contesting for his birthright, he doesn't speak. He's a bit of a broken character. He follows in tough shoes of a man who lived larger than life, Abraham, and then his mother died. So the story after the binding of Isaac resumes with Sarah's death and Abraham grieving over her loss and burying her in a field, well, in a field that had a cave, in a cave that was to become his family's burial site. We don't hear of Isaac in that story. Isaac was absent in his grief. Abraham then next sends a servant to get a wife for Isaac, who by this point is in his 30s, and he won't allow the servant to bring Isaac along. He does not want Isaac to go back to the land of his kin where he came from. He doesn't want everything erased that he had done over his lifetime, in essence carving out a space for himself in this new land. And so Isaac is a bit of a captive. He is constrained and contained at home while a servant goes to look for a wife for him. So we meet Rebecca, and Rebecca is this youthful, energetic, ready to take on life kind of young woman who comes out and is muscular, clearly being able to haul water back and forth to the trough for the camels and running back and forth, it says in the text earlier than what we read today. And when the servant returns with Rebecca, who is willing to go on this daring life journey at the invitation of this servant, Isaac goes to meet her and hears the servant's tale and is silent. But he does take her into his tent and loves her. Now that's an interesting phrase here, because we don't hear that very often when man and woman come together as husband and wife. But he says he loved her and he was finally comforted after the loss of his mother. Isaac is a complicated little character in his silence and in his constraint. He bears wounds. We all carry wounds from our lives, don't we? We all carry wounds. Our wounds and experiences shape how we engage the world, for good and for ill. And those wounds and experiences have shaped how people are able to engage the world, how we are, you, me, everyone around us. And it affects people in our society who have been wounded and carry those wounds. Veterans who return from wars, who carry with them the marks of post-traumatic stress, in whatever severity it might be, and moral injury. Black Americans who bear the inheritance of injustices that have been tremendous over 400 years, and who bear the marks of the barriers that have been placed in their way to full life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, joy, contentment, fulfillment, because of systems at play in our society that are racially biased. The original Americans, the Native Americans to this land, led on trails of tears and into false treaties that were not kept and progressively silenced and contained and constrained. These are broken lives all around us, and people do the best they can, just as we do with our own wounds. Isaac in many ways was a broken man, yet he was the bearer of the promise, and he was capable of loving, and he was capable of raising and moving the promise forward. But it was really Rebecca who helped carry it forward most, and moved it forward, as we will find in the stories of Jacob and Esau. People have been silenced, contained, constrained in their pursuit of fuller life, liberty, joy, and fulfillment. Yet even in the midst of all that we might suffer and that others suffer and have suffered, there is comfort to be found. God does not abandon us. God is with us. Jesus says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest, all you that travail and are heavy laden. Be with me. I will give you rest. Come to me. Be with me. Go with me. Abide with me." God's angels, God's messengers, God's presence come to us in many forms around us. We find God touching us and God's message touching us in our spouses, in our parents, in our children. Maybe not 100% of the time, but often enough. In friends and family members, extended, and neighbors. In strangers who step forward to help, surprising us. In hired workers who go the extra mile. In employers who open pathways, even though it was not necessary. Isaac is finally comforted and consoled when he receives Rebecca, who comes with so much life, and he loves her. How are we messengers? And how are others messengers to us? Whatever form, color, shape, background they take. And let's be honest, we are weak and divided in ourselves, even when we embark and try to be messengers. We human beings are weak and divided in ourselves. Paul is so clear in the passage today from Romans 7, where he says, "I do the thing that I hate, and I hate the thing that I do, and I don't do the thing that I would love to do and want to do." And he's talking about the division within us of our desires, those which are mutated and twisted, and those that wish to pursue and follow God. We do the things we hate the things we do, we don't do the thing we love and truly want to do, we get all twisted up and we find ourselves at war within ourselves. In this time in our nation, I can't help but reading this passage, not just with a voice that Paul is writing to the individual members of the congregations and communities in Rome that gathered in Christ's name, but to the entire people and to communities as a whole and to a society and to a nation. Can we hear these words to our nation? We do the things we hate as a nation. We hate the things we do. We do not do those things which we would love and most desire to do at our best. And we find ourselves beside ourselves, wondering if we can possibly make it work ever, ever. And here in the Romans passage, we come to this punchline: who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because it is Jesus. It is only Jesus. Jesus is our only Lord, our only King, our only governor and government that we will follow as Christians, truly. Because it is only He, it is only Christ Jesus, God incarnate, who shows us how to live, emptying God's self constantly on our behalf, giving Himself away all through Jesus' life and then to death and rising again with power over death at the end. In the end, we can't find the way by ourselves. Only Christ Jesus opens a way for us, and it is only He whose comfort can be full and complete. Jesus comes into Jerusalem and sees children in the marketplace playing and calling out to each other, trying to get others to play with them, but saying, "Hey, we danced and you wouldn't play for us. We cried and you would not mourn for us. You have not joined us." And this is the sad state of affairs for us as humanity, that we are divided amongst ourselves and we won't come alongside one another. And instead, Jesus says, look at what they've done even with John and me. John, who followed God fully by devoting himself to fasting and withdrawing, well, they called him demon-possessed. And now I come following what God has called me to do, Jesus says, to be with people and to eat and drink with them, and you call me a wino and a glutton. And yet wisdom will have the day. You will know the works of God by their fruits, in both cases. Some of us are quieter in our lives. We write, we pray quietly, we garden, we talk to a few people. That is powerful. Others of us are more gregarious, and we go out and we talk to people a lot, and we make a difference in the communities that we are in with lots of action. That's all good too. Live into who you are in your fullness. This is God's calling, that we come to Him fully and innocently as we are, and even though we are weary in carrying many burdens, sharing them with Jesus, sharing them with the one who turned in the midst of being received in this weird way that he was not received very well in the world, and turned to God and said, I put my trust in you because you've hidden all these things from the wise and intelligent in the ways of the world and revealed them to infants, even me as when I was an infant. And yes, this is your will, that I do all things in your name. So then from that prayer, where he's centered in God and abiding in God, that's when he can turn to the world and say, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest, because he is centered. And so it will be for us. When we center ourselves in Christ, we find our love and our comfort and our joy, and we rest. And from that, we know that we can move out unafraid, untethered, unbothered by the whims and wists and various ways of thinking of the world around us. We are anchored in Christ, and so we can offer what Christ has offered us. This is how the world changes. This is how the world changes. And we offer rest to one another and comfort to one another and love to one another and extend our reach as far as we can, because it is so that we follow Christ and follow his lead. Amen.